Welcome to Have You Heard, where we talk about issues at the intersection of agriculture and engineering. Let's get started. Here are your hosts, Morgan Hayes and Josh Jackson.
Welcome. This is the Have You Heard podcast. This is episode 58. We're going to speak today a little bit about temporary fencing. I'm Morgan Hayes, an assistant professor in biosystems and ag engineering here at the University of Kentucky, focusing on livestock facilities. In my personal life, I farm in Boyle County, Kentucky with my husband. It's about 500.
And I'm Josh Jackson, assistant professor in biosystems and agriculture engineering as well, where I focus on precision livestock farming. In my personal life, we raise registered Angus cattle and focus on some goat production and do some hay as well.
So it's busy right now on the farm. So I'm assuming you have lots going on. Tell us what's happening on the farm this week.
So we got our cutters going. So that's great. We got a big cutter going. I went out there. We did blow a hydraulic hose the other night. So we've had a really good streak of weather here. So we did the one night. We did the first 5-acre test. We went ahead to our bigger fields. And then we had some other little issues we were able to correct. And so everything, you know, we rebuilt the 3 bars. And so it seemed to be folks working fairly well. So we're fairly happy with that aspect. We'll get to test the rake and baler out here tonight.
Yep. We also have hay down. We actually have about half of our hay already baled. The remainder will get baled on Friday, most likely, currently Thursday. Today will be a hauling in day on the stuff that's already baled. Had a very nice window. You're right. You and I both had to travel last weekend one day down to Tennessee for a meeting. So we had to leave other people in charge of the farming, which is not a problem, but we're just down labor. It's just a very busy time in general for us, at least.
So for us, the cows didn't get moved. So we're still
waiting. The cows are still not moved. Those cows are going to be angry with
you
guys.
They're angry. We put them on some other back. Mom fenced off another hay field, old hay field for them, and gave them that. And so they've had, like, we're on impulse power. I mean, we're severe, like, impulse powers. Like, we cannot give them anything else.
Yeah, they need to move this weekend.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I think there's a chance for some rain potentially on Sunday. So yep. We'll see if that actually materializes or not. But we're currently looking if it doesn't end up being a major rain event that we'll do a little bit more hay then. So we're definitely into the thick of our first cutting of hay at this point. We're, I don't know how many acres we have. Probably 40 or 45 acres down right now.
I think we're about in that same range as well.
Yeah, so a pretty good chunk of the first cutting of hay is on the agenda to finish up this week. But our baler is working. That was a positive. We did get, I know I said we were going to put new up wheel rubber on. Yep. It worked great.
Really?
My husband was very happy with that. and everything seems to be running fairly well right at the moment, which, you know, I don't want to knock on wood for listening. It's not pleasant, but I might knock on wood anyway just because it doesn't always.
It's running, then like it'll blow up. And
yeah, so I don't want to jinx myself. We've had a couple eye issues, especially where our cattle were back on the wheat. That wheat, as it gets a little more mature, is pretty semi and pretty hard. So I'm thinking it's more like poked eyes rather than flies. But we have not yet done our fly tags. We haven't done that work on our cattle. We have the tags purchased, and I purchased medication this week for vaccines, getting everything boosted. And so the plan is, if we have a rainy sort of window sort of show up here, that will be our point at which we get everything worked, because it's time to get fly tags in. We've been lucky. It's been cool.
Yep.
And the flies have been pretty low stress, but it's starting to pick up and we're looking like a very warm. So it's high it's priority coming for us to get that done. Probably our next big task.
We did some of ours, I think, 2 weekends ago. So we went ahead and fly tagged everybody, gave them their triangle 10, I guess.
Yeah, you do a triangle 10, and we actually typically use a VeraShield 6, which is essentially the same product, although we use a VeraShield with a VL5, and you're using triangle 10, which triangle and the VeraShield are similar products. But there's been a shortage of the VeraShield 6, so I actually went to 3 different stores.
Wow.
to get enough VeraShield 6 with the VL5 in it. And I was very lucky to get it. I'm very grateful I found it, to be completely honest. I don't know if there are any people listening to this that have the same issue. Apparently they had some bad doses a couple months out from stock if.
Wow.
So we got enough. We're ready to vaccinate. We could have done it with a triangle. We were prepared to do that. But you know, ideally, we don't like to switch. And we definitely don't want to modify live product because we have pregnant cows. Every time we work, our cows always get their boost.
So yeah, it's definitely fortunate that you're able to find that.
We were fortunate to find it. I was also a little frustrated because I was planning to do some other things yesterday, and instead I was busy out and about trying to track down a couple bottles so that I could get enough doses. The only other thing that's happening is we're doing a lot of our rotational systems, and this goes right up into our topic for the day. And I have a couple steers that we're working on finishing out, but they stay on grass for us up until the last 60 days. Then they go on to a pretty controlled hay just from a meat quality. We want to make sure no flavoring in the meat, but they're still young enough. They're going to be a late fall processing group. And so they went out to a new set of grass, but they didn't need a full-size pasture because there's only six of them. And our pastures are set up for larger groups. So I ran some temporary fencing yesterday, and I gave myself one of the best shocks I've given myself in a year or two. I really thought that I was on a fence that had a lot of stuff, weeds growing on it, and I thought it wasn't that hot, and I was wrong.
Really?
Yep, I regretted that decision. I was actually, and this will come into our conversation too on this temporary fencing, but I was using pigtail posts and they're old ones.
Oh.
And I normally wouldn't use these on a really hot fence because some of them are cracked at the top. It's fine once they're set up.
Yep.
But when you're trying to pull it on, I'm holding onto the metal part and I'm just popping it on where it's plastic coated. But if I'm not careful, that wire, you know, touches that crack. And it gets in that crack and hits that metal. And it's I am a very good ground rod when that happens. And that's what happened yesterday for me. And I was like, oh, dang it. I said nastier words, but that's what I meant.
Frustration venting.
I was like, whoa, I did not expect that today. Okay. So.
Well, it'll wake you up always.
It did wake me up. So I don't know. Let's talk a little bit about where we use temporary fencing on the farms, how we tend to use it.
So a lot of it is usually we're around, at least how we use it, is around a centralized water. And so a lot of times we're trying to break up a field and we'll do a pinwheel type fashion or pinwheel design. But we're just either splitting fields, breaking up into multiple sections so they can force them to consume what's there and then move them on to the next sections. A lot of times, we usually use the wire just because we run
like a turbo wire or a poly wire or a...
not the poly wire, just a regular aluminum wire. So aluminum wire, yeah. And so because that's what we always had, what we still have, a bunch of rolls of that wire. So, and we just roll it back up when we're done. And you splice it, and it's, you know, at some point you get so many splices in it that you go, well, you need to get to just section.
Yeah.
Because it's too many kinks. And that's the point for them to also fail.
Yeah. Well, so I would assume if you're using a wire setup and not using some of the poly products that have the plastic with the thin strands of metal in them, that you probably don't take it up and down very much. Once it goes up, it's up for the summer.
It's up for the summer. Yeah. So we put it up for the summer, and there's probably two or three different lines we'll put up. We've actually used T-posts. I like the pigtails because they go in pretty easy. This time of year, they go in fairly easy.
Yep.
If we get into some August conditions, then we're putting in T-posts just because we can drive those in the ground.
Yeah, no, we almost exclusively use the pigtails. I will say that we have some fencing that I would call like semi-permanent where we've used 12.5 gauge high tensile with like T-posts and some other things on a fence that we're going to keep up for multiple years, but we don't want to put in the permanent fence yet because we're not 100% confident location.
Yep.
But anywhere that we are using temporary fencing, we use poly wire or a turbo wire. The difference between poly wire and turbo wire, for anyone listening that's not sure, the turbo products, they might actually be trademark name. I don't know. Not. Those products have more strands of wire and some different types of wire in there that carry that conduct electricity better, less resistance. They carry that charge a little bit better. But the poly wires, those types of materials are plastic with very thin strands of metal. and they reel up better. So they're much better for putting up, taking down, putting up, taking down. And we have a few that we put up and take down a number of times. So like we have an area on one of our fields. It's a large field that we cut for hay, half of it, and the other half we graze. So it comes up and down because when we go to cut, we don't like to leave that fence up. We like to take it back down before we cut. But it's a little bit of a trade-off that then, you know, then we have to take it up and down multiple times during the summer. On the other hand, it makes it a little bit easier to sort of maneuver in some of the. So some things get put up even with that for longer durations, but some of them get taken up and down multiple times.
Like one of our strategies is when we do some of our temporary fencing, we'll go in there like at the beginning of the year, because we sometimes leave it out there, not like you guys, throughout the year, year to year. Before we put the cows up there, we'll go up there, roll up our wire onto the roll, pull the posts, and go through there at the bush hog, drop it down, and just let it scalp the earth, not scalp the earth, but really, really cut it close, and then put our posts back up just to make sure we're not going to have any over the summer. So we knock it down, knock down any brush that's there. The other challenge you have is all the briars and stuff. So knock down the previous year's growth. If there is some, then hopefully we're starting out, new year, you can hopefully manage a little bit.
And well, and hopefully if you're going with a single wire on something like a step-in of whatever type, that they can graze underneath it, keep it cleared pretty well around those posts. We also will use on our rented farm to keep them out of trees. That's one spot that we very commonly temporary fencing. The rented farm has a couple ponds. I would describe that water as not something that I would want to drink. I wouldn't even want to use it even if I had iodine to put in. It still would not be a drinkable source of water for me. It's a very not clean looking pond, and I'm not entirely sure why. We manage all the land around it, and I think it's spring fed, so I'm not really sure where they're getting some of the stuff that's in it, but it just doesn't. It never looks good. It's always got really weird red algae and stuff. And we've had it fenced off for 4 or 5 years now, and it's not improving. So it's something we just don't want our cattle in. We don't want them laying, trying to cool off in the pond necessarily. We don't want them in that water. It's one of the spots that actually lepto tends to be pretty predominant is in our waters around here. So because they're our breeding cattle, we don't really want them spending excessive amounts of time in the ponds, and we really don't want them drinking it. We have city water. We pay for city water,
right?
And we intend for them to drink the city water. So, we are pretty intentional about keeping them out of those ponds and some of the treed areas, especially when there are calves on the ground. We're just trying to do daily checks. We don't want those calves getting in the trees where we can't find them. So we have a couple things that we will temporary fence to fence out.
Okay, I know sometimes even with the temporary fence, the calves can go under it sometimes. So almost like for sometimes we have a good field where the cows are in a decent field, but there's an even better pasture, like the calves can potentially creep under if they had to.
Yeah, and the calves will sometimes creep under the single wire into the trees, but they won't go very far.
Right.
They don't tend to like to get that far away from their mother. Sometimes they'll go back behind there into the trees and lay down in the shade, and they'll have a nice spot to lay there. But they don't tend to go like miles back into the trees by themselves. They're not usually that adventurous.
Otherwise, Darwinism is probably going to kick in at some point.
I think anything that leaves the mother for that long might have Darwin. Yes, you're correct. So that's sort of how we use those. I will say that sort of touching on not only the wire, but the step-in posts, a little bit more about those. We have bought some of the newer pigtail posts that are that don't have the metal end on them. They're actually just that plastic, acrylic, nylon. I'm not entirely sure what the composite actually ends up being, but they don't actually have metal in the pigtail itself. They have orange or a white end on them that's curved. And I have been very happy with them because our pigtails traditionally have lasted us about 2 to 3 summers before they crack to the point where they're fairly dangerous, for me yesterday. and so I've been really happy with those other ones, the newer ones that we've purchased. We've had them. This is our third year with them. And we've had no deterioration in that product. And They are more expensive. I'm sure that we're paying probably double what we would be paying on a traditional pigtail fence post. But if they last that much longer and we don't have to replace them or evaluate them individually each time, it's worth it for me to have a product that's going to last that
long. Yeah, you often don't think about the UV degradation that takes place.
Yeah.
And how it can, over time, destroy some of those cost effective or cheaper, let's go ahead and just say cheaper insulator that you can get. Yeah, maybe good for a year or two, but after a while, they're definitely going to degrade.
Right.
As opposed to some of those that might, like you said, maybe more resilient products.
It's going
to cost a little more investment.
Yeah. And at the time, I was like hesitant to pay for them, but I looking back on it after a couple years, I think it was a worthwhile investment. I'm very happy with them. And I anticipate using step-ins for the foreseeable future. We have a lot of permanent fencing. We have a lot of rotational fencing. But we still have some very big fields intentionally because of the hay production that in some years and in some climates, we want to graze portions of it or all of it. So last year with the drought, it wasn't worth cutting for hay, but it was worth really intentionally grazing it and giving access to small areas at a time in the fall just to try and get as much use out of what was there as we could get, which I know is not always the case, but like most years I'd rather get the hay off because for us that's a business model that we use. But there are years where like it's not worth cutting it for hay. There's not enough volume there, in which case I want to graze it in such a way that I get use it efficiently, which means I have to use temporary.
And the other thing I meant to mention as well, like, so we have that advantage where you can take care of your animals, but you know, on those pigtail posts that if you have the cracks, it's sometimes hard to see unless you have a meter to track where the issue is. And
yep.
So tracking down, you have those pretty much siphons where they're pretty much stealing your energy.
Yes.
That can be used to shock the animals so they can degrade the resilience of your system.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you have like a plug-in energizer or charger on a system, it usually you can get away with some leakage on those posts. But when you start to use solar boxes and things like that, and a battery, you know, batteries are pretty susceptible to over discharge, and you don't want to leave a system like that that's, you know, near capacity with a lot of leak on it, because it's really tough on those batteries, especially as those solar panels get old. Actually, we've just ordered a couple weeks ago, we ordered some new solar panels for some of our older solar boxes because the panel itself is not doing a great job of recharging, and there's nothing wrong with how it's located or anything else, just that the boxes are 5 or 6 years old, and those small panels, they deteriorate over time.
You're going to lose some of that quality. You will, you know, we know that they'll lose some of their efficiency over time. So like 1% approximately thereabouts.
Yeah.
For the solar panel. So that is something to consider. And, you know, for some of our temporary fencing, you know, we're, like you said, we're keeping them out of the tree lines, keep them out of the waterways. You know, really, it's just for us about grazing management, just being able to utilize our pastures more efficiently, get that better distribution of manure, better distribution of the grazing, and try to utilize whatever we have a lot more efficiently.
I think that's a pretty good summary of it. The one thing we haven't talked about, and this is, I have an actual question for you, is you said you use all that metal fence. How do you reel it up? Because I am a big believer in the geared reel for the poly wire. So, I can't imagine having to reel up all that metal wire all the time. That would be frustrating.
And, I mean, we have those, well, you get them from Lowe's, those big orange reels. And so we just put them on the, like, I guess maybe for extension cords or something like that. We put it on there and go to town. I mean, you pretty much go to, you almost fill it up. And it's definitely, by the time you get to the end, it's definitely a hassle.
Yeah, it's a very heavy material. And also, especially where you've had to retie multiple places together where it's broken.
Whichever hand's holding the unit, it has a glove.
Okay. Whichever. I was going to say, you can hurt yourself with those.
You can hurt yourself pretty good. So you make sure you're cognizant, you have a glove, you have a system down. And so at some point we had a little drill mechanism you could put on there to help reel it up a little faster. And so we had a system that we made a little attachment. You could screw on there or not screw on there. We had an insert put on there and use it that way. So that was Joy's method. Mom was just like, get out there and just reel it up.
Yeah.
Need exercise.
Yeah, I think the key is you have to be committed to having that out for quite a while if you're going to, you know, do that type of a system. But that's actually pretty entertaining. Pretty funny. I think that's probably a pretty good summary. I don't use any other step and post except sometimes with my alpaca, which I don't tend to use a lot of temporary fencing. But for them, I use one of the step and posts that has 3 to 5 slots on it so I can move multiple wires or move them up or down. I know some people don't like to use electric fencing with small ruminants because they're harder to shock, to be completely honest. But we go ahead and use it. I don't find that my animals are super aggressive and they don't like getting shocked, so they tend to respect electric fence, at least on mine.
I mean, kind of similar to you, I've gotten shocked before, and I think I respect it, so I think my animals also respect fence to certain large animals.
How do your goats do?
They would walk through a lot of it.
They do walk through a bunch of it. Yeah, I think it needs to have a really, you know, the recommendation is at least 3,000 volts for a cow. Typically, I like to hit 5,000 for a cow as a minimum. And then for sheep and goat, you know, the number's up near 7,000. 5 to 7 is what they say, but like I'd want to be at the top end for a goat for sure.
And so we were probably around the 5 and they were just walking through it like it's flowing like water.
Yeah, especially when it's dry. When the ground is dry, it's very hard if you don't have some sort of wire return to really get a good contact shock for that animal. So it's a more challenging thing to use it. I think you can, and for the alpaca, we've had no issues. But we do run it off of a plug-in 120 outlet, a 110, 120 type outlet plug-in. Yep. And we do run it hot. We do run it up at that 7 or 8,000 volt, which it sort of needs to get to really good for those animals to have a little bit more fiber, wool, hair, whatever you want to.
Yeah, so we definitely would need to be more resilient, have a more resilient box, I think, for our goats.
Yeah, and multiple wires. That's the other thing. One wire is not enough to keep in those small ruminants. They definitely, at least in my experience, they need a couple wires at a couple levels just to be that effective.
So we haven't done an effective goat electric fence yet. We did have some of the netting. They respected that to a certain degree, but it didn't seem to carry the voltage as well. But
that's not a surprise. It tends to have a lot of resistance on it, so I'm not surprised it struggled to carry the voltage. One of the challenges. That's why it's so good for poultry, because they don't need very much voltage. That's why a netting is so okay. I think that's a pretty good summary of temporary fence. We use it, we like it. Yep. We understand that there's some limitations on it, but it doesn't make it any less valuable in our operations.
Still very valuable.
Okay. Let's go ahead and just give everyone a quick foreshadowing of what's happening next week, weather permitting.
Hopefully baling some hay. Might try to get a couple loads of rock in, put in my poop barn. Haven't done that yet, so might, if we're going to move hay or get hay put away, probably do that. And then we'll just see where the week takes us, but hopefully baling some hay, and then I got to go on another trip for multi-state meeting.
Yeah, so I have some hay that needs to come in, hauling in hay, as well as baling a little bit more. If the weather opens up again end of the weekend, we will be cutting more hay. We will be targeting getting a significant portion of hay done. We could get a significant portion of our hay done before June. That would be pretty remarkable for us. A lot of people have a goal of July 4th to getting their hay done, and that's certainly absolutely our goal. But the more we can get done in early June, the better off we are, the higher the quality the hay will be.
Yep.
And then, the cleaner it will be.
Then you can also plan for the next cutting and hopefully put down it maybe a little fertilizer if you need to. Or
yeah, we actually talked about it, and certainly if we get some rain in the next week or two in the forecast, we'll be putting down a little bit of fertilizer, just a little bit of nitrogen. I think we're pretty good on our that'll be on our plan as well. And if we get a rainy window, cattle are getting work. I don't see that in the forecast right now, so it's not on my immediate term. That's not my goal for this coming week. But
if it does happen,
if the weather shifts, that will be on my goal list for the week.
Check with Matt Dixon.
I already have. Okay. He can't answer any questions for me currently.
It's always, it depends.
Yeah, that's the answer I give a lot of people too. So I can't complain too much, but I can complain still. Okay. I think with that, we'll end our podcast for today, and we will see you guys next week with another podcast.
Thanks for tuning in.
Have You Heard is a production of the University of Kentucky College of Agriculture, Food and Environment, along with the Department of Biosystems and Agricultural Engineering. Discover what's wildly possible at ca.uky.edu.